Hi everyone, welcome to Plant a Good Seed here on IBM TV. My name is Tish Oakley and I'm with Earth Monkey Energies. And today we're so excited to bring our awesome guest, Dr. Seth Ware. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He has over 10 years of clinical experience, including treating Olympic athletes in Colombia. Originally from Dallas, Texas, Dr. Ware is passionate about helping people become the best version of themselves through quality chiropractic care. From providing wellness and maintenance care to helping patients resolve their health challenges and meet their goals, Dr. Ware enjoys working with all ages and educating the local community on how chiropractic can be life-changing. He's energetic, he's engaging, and values his connections with his patients and their families. When he's not interacting with patients, you can find him playing guitar and singing for local seniors and at his church. He also enjoys spending time enjoying all of the Triangle it has to offer with his wife, Angela, and their two dogs. So I'd love to introduce you guys to Dr. Seth Ware.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I want to tell people just briefly about how we met, if we could, before we start getting into it and what our spark, our connection is. I met you at a health fair. It was a senior health fair.
Yep.
And you had your skeleton there, and I knew, oh, it's got to be a place for me, right? Somebody's going to talk about the body. Got to talk about it. Got to see what you got to say. And it's like everything out of your mouth was like, did I say that or did you say that? You know, because we were talking about the foundation of health.
Yep.
Is what it was all about. And what is health and what is the true foundation of health and getting to the core?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah.
And that's actually why I labeled my practice Foundations Chiropractic. Oh, it's reversed. You know, helping you have a strong foundation for optimal health and wellness, you know, and it's, health in America, you know, we're not overly healthy. We're 5% of the world's population, but we take 50% of the world's drugs and, you know, so many chronic diseases. And we spend nearly a quarter of our, you know, GDP on, you know, sick care, on health care. And it's, you know, we're not getting, if we were spending that much money, you know, are we getting healthier or sicker as a society? And overall, we're getting sicker. And so for me, I want to, you know, my job is to teach, reach, and inspire as many people as possible to take care of their health and to get healthy. And I think, you know, that's why you need to have a strong foundation for where you base your health care. It's not taking more pills, because we'd be super healthy if that's where health came from.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's 5% of the world's population, but 50% of the pharmaceuticals?
Over 50%. Yeah.
Wow. But you know, that's not surprising, because there's so many people that we've been conditioned to turn to pills. I hate to say it, but we're conditioned for the simplicity of it.
They spend over $9 billion a year marketing directly to the public. Like, we're only one of two countries that you can advertise directly to the public, USA and New Zealand. And I mean, they spend $25 billion advertising to doctors, like, you know, to prescribe their pills. So there's so much money in having pills, you know, to cover symptoms. And don't get me wrong, like, there's a time and place for medicine. There is a
sure.
time and place.
100%.
Sure, you know, mm-hmm. I injured my hand one time and I had to, you know, take anti-inflammatories and muscle relaxants. Yep. So I'm definitely not anti-medication.
Right.
I'm more pro, like, let's find the cause of why your body, you know, is having those symptoms and those thing and fix the cause, not just cover the symptoms with the medication. You know, I always say a symptom is like the check engine light going off.
Yes.
Or the fire alarm going off telling you something's wrong. And taking a medication is like taping over that, you know, taping over that check engine light or pulling the batteries out of the, yeah, of the fire alarm. But did you actually fix the problem? And sure, short term, take what you got to take to get through your day and function and do what you need to do. But long term, pills are not why your body's dysfunctional. You know,
well, in the beginning, at least, because I think right. that there's been a lot of people that after you take pills for a certain amount of time, it does other things
right.
to your body.
Well, I mean,
so.
if I tore a ligament in my arm, if I tore my bicep, let's say, for example, I could take pain medications all day long. Sure. But to fix the problem, I'd have to go to an orthopedic doctor that's going to reattach that, you know, reattach that ligament, reattach the tendon and, you know, allow my body to heal, you know, versus just pop a bunch of pills to cover the symptoms.
100%.
That's my job, is educating people over that.
Which is one of the things I, you know, just love about you, because you're not about, and I'm going to use one of your terms, rack 'em and crack 'em, right?
No.
You're not about just come in here, let me take your money, and you're going to have to come back every week, and I'm going to adjust you every week, right? Because I've been to some chiropractors, they're like, okay, next Tuesday. I'm like, but what the, fix this, you know, this hurts. You know, we got to do something about it, because we can't.
Just, you know, that's just a philosophy. Like, if that's how you want to run, you know, I have a saying, like, treat all my patients how you want to treat mama.
Yeah.
You know, don't just try to put a Band-Aid on it. My job is to find what's going on. So I may find some postural things that I have to give somebody their at-home, you know, stretches, exercises, that kind of stuff. And then when I'm adjusting somebody, I have a specific goal in mind. It's not just, you know, just lay them down and adjust what I find. It's basically, we do our analysis, we do our exam, and we say, this is what we're trying to fix. And, you know, if you go to any medical provider, whether that be a chiropractor, whether that be a medical doctor, physical therapist, dentist, if they don't do an exam and try to figure out what's going on, go to somebody else, and go to somebody that actually can explain in words that make sense to you what's going on and why it's important.
Yeah, I mean, we've jumped right on into this whole hire and, you know, you're fired thing, hire and fire, in that we are responsible for our health. Sure. And it's our job to create our medical team, just like it is to figure out our wellness toolbox and keep populating the tools in that toolbox, just like our medical team. If there's issues, we need to get to the root of it and find those people that listen and really, you know, can translate those symptoms into whatever that root issue is.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, and
one of the best experiences I ever had was when I was working with Olympic athletes down in Columbia back in 2009, right when I graduated. I worked side by side with orthopedic doctors and physical therapists. And it kind of framed my mindset of, you know, I know what I'm good at. Like, I'm good at getting motion in the spine and getting things into better alignment to help somebody's nervous system function better. But you bet, if somebody tears a ligament and I do my exam and something doesn't seem stable, sure, go to your orthopedic doctor. Or if you have big time muscle imbalances and I can adjust you all day long, but you're not holding those adjustments because your core's weak, go to your physical therapist. And so I think in today's world, you've got to do your research to figure out, and go to the people that, hey, good morning.
There's Mark.
Go to the people that can actually fix the problem of what's going on with you.
100%. Well, hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hello. I was just checking y'all out and everything. Great conversation. I was actually just thinking about the things that your guest is doing and all of that, because it's such an important thing that we've got going on in the world right now, because as we know, a number of folks are starting to get back into their athletic environments, whether that's football, whether that's basketball, whether that's a number of other things that are now going on, because the athletes are trying to get back into the world of performing, even if they're not performing in front of crowds, but they're trying to perform for us, whether that's the NBA. I was actually watching one of the games yesterday, or the NFL. So definitely, I know that chiropractors are very important. I actually remember when I had an experience with one myself, and I wasn't even an athlete, but I was actually traveling with my brother, and he got into a fender bender, and one of our local chiropractors did that whole cracking thing and definitely helped heal me and everything. So I definitely remember that. But I was wondering if our guest could talk about the importance of chiropractors and other folks in that industry to our professional athletes, because I have noticed that there are a number of them even now that are trying to get treatment. And unfortunately, I don't see enough of the medical staff in some of these places.
Yeah. And you think about it, like, everybody has stress on their bodies, you know, whether it be a car accident, whether it be having your body perform at a high level, being an athlete. You're pushing your body hard and it has to adapt to those stresses. So whenever you say, and that's actually going back to why I got into chiropractic. I was a basketball player, and at 17, my back was so tight, I could hardly tie my shoes. And it was due to falling on the court. It was a stress. It was a physical stress on my body. And a chiropractor, I was taking a bunch of pills and it wasn't fixing the problem. I was taking a bunch of Tylenol and doing all the stretches. And then a chiropractor helped me get better. You know, because he got me moving right, he got my alignment better, because I had a curve in my spine that shouldn't have been there. And so going back to your athletes, whenever you have athletes that are having, you know, falls on the basketball court, when they're having, you know, they're getting hit on the football field, you know, having, that's a lot of physical stress on the body. And so what chiropractic does is it helps take the stress out of their body so that their body's able to adapt at a higher level and function better. You know, so you bet there's a reason why a lot of pro sports teams have chiropractors, you know, on their teams. And I've actually gotten to meet a few of the chiropractors that work with, you know, like the Dallas Cowboys and work with the Mavericks and stuff like that when I was back in Texas. So it's, you know, they're definitely time and place for every type of medical professional. Sure, if you tear a ligament, like I'm not at all going to be able to fix that. But if your spine's locked up and you're out of alignment due to some of those physical stresses, that's our wheelhouse.
Perfect. Like the spine, we were talking about the spine being the fuse box, right?
Yeah. I'll show you kind of the behind the scenes here in my practice. So I use a few posters to educate because one thing I love is patient education. Oh, can you see me?
There yep. we go.
Yeah. Yep. So this is an analogy, the way I, you know, what's your function? So your brain sits up here and it's protected by your skull and it sends those signals down the spine to every organ, cell, and tissue via the spinal cord. Well, where they exit, that, those are like the fuse boxes. So let's say you got in a car accident and you had a whiplash injury and you damaged, you know, the upper portion or the lower portion of your neck. Anywhere those nerves go to, you know, for example, the nerves at C5 go down to the shoulder, C6 go down to the arm. So if I have a patient that's saying, oh, doc, I'm having pain in my hand, check my hand out. Well, my first thought is, okay, where's the compression on those nerves coming from? And so wherever you blow the fuse in your body, that can affect and lead to the different symptoms, wherever that nerve goes to. And so this is an analogy. The spine is like a fuse box. And so whenever you damage those nerves, it's going to affect wherever that nerve goes to.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. What about when people have like surgery on their spines and get like, I want to say fake vertebrae and stuff? How does that affect the structure of your spine? And I mean, I know for some folks you have to do that, but
for sure.
What happens to the nerves? How do they ensure that the nerves continue to move through those, you know, those false?
Yeah. And I've actually had to refer patients to an orthopedic doctor to have surgery if they were just too far gone and their spine had degenerated enough, you know, to where chiropractic can help to a point. Obviously, you know, when you have surgery like that, it's a little more invasive than something that's more natural like what I do, but there's a time and place for everything. And, you know, as a chiropractor, that's why I do my examination and I do my consultation. So if I have somebody that I have quite a few patients that have actually had spinal fusions in their spine. And so you can't work on those areas. You work the areas above it and below it to help relieve the stress that may be compensating due to the immobile area that they have in those spots. But there's a reason why they fuse those segments, you know, and it may be to, if they have a really bad disc herniation or trying to get pressure off the nerves, if it's unstable. Like I've had patients to where they get in a really bad car accident. I do my exam and we take some x-rays and you see that segment is moving way more than it should. Well, if my job is to put motion into the spine and get things into proper alignment and the thing's already unstable, then I'm not going to be fixing that problem. You know, that's
right.
More of like your orthopedic doctor. And then whenever I see them after surgery, then I'm going to stay away from that specific area, but work the other areas that still, you know, may have stress on them and need to get those areas moving. So that's why you do your exam. That's why you, you know, figure out what kind of stress the person's had up to that point. And you go from there.
Gotcha. So like if somebody does have those pins or the false vertebrae in there, yep. then it's potential that the rest of your spine could still deteriorate, which I want to talk about that in a minute too, mm-hmm. but the rest of your spine could deteriorate, but those sections don't deteriorate. So then you really could have a whole kind of, yep. I want to say a whole mess.
Adjunctive calcification is what the medical term for it is.
Okay.
It means if you've got an area that's fixated, the yeah. areas above it and below it are going to have more stress on those areas. Therefore, mm-hmm. they're going to wear out faster. I always say degeneration in the spine is like calluses. It's your body adapting to stress. So if I go through and I, you know, take an x-ray on somebody and it's not old age, because if it was old age, all the vertebrae would wear out equally. At the same
yes, time. Right.
Mm-hmm. Usually it's an old injury that didn't heal properly. And then the biomechanics were off on that segment, and then it leads to the degenerative changes that you see. And I say it's just like the calluses on your hand. So if I had somebody that had stress on their hand over time and they were mm-hmm. working with ropes, for example,
yep.
I could see the changes in the body trying to adapt to that stress.
Okay.
And it's your body's way of expressing, you know, that stress, you know, over time.
So you might fix the area that was hurt, but in 20 years, who, you know, so let's talk then about taking care of your spine, right?
For sure.
Because we definitely know that it can deteriorate for a lot of reasons. But like, so what kind of advice do you have for folks? Like, you've already told us some, like, if you don't have the core strength to sit up straight, you need to go see a physical therapist or somebody to help train you with your core strength and whatnot. But this, for general folks, what, how do we take care of our spine? I mean, what are we supposed to do?
I go back to a dental analogy with that. So dentists have done a really good job of explaining how to brush your teeth and floss your teeth, things that you can do to maintain your teeth over time.
Exactly.
You don't only go to a dentist whenever you have a cavity. You go to a dentist to help prevent that. And so for me, it boils down to good range of motion and it boils down to good alignment. You know, so a few practical examples that I give my patients is if your head is supposed to be over your shoulders, and you're down all day long.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And your posture's terrible. You know, find somebody that can assess that. For me, that's one of the big things I work with is I give patients, you know, head retraction exercises where they're pulling their head backwards. I do like foam blocking where I'll give them a foam block to take home with them to do something every day to help maintain that curve in their neck. And I always say it's like brushing your teeth or flossing your teeth. And then, you know, find the professionals that can fix any structural issues, any postural issues. And that's kind of where, you know, I come into play is I'm advocating for somebody's health and showing them here's where you are. Here's your baseline. Mm-hmm. Okay. Based on your specific, you know, stressors, your specific, you know, baseline where you are, you need to be doing these exercises, these stretches. When I work on you, I'm going to be working on this specific area, wherever it is on them, and giving them the tools to maintain it. You know, kind of like I wouldn't just tell you to brush your teeth only when you get a cavity.
Right, right. So the yoga is great, but also, you know, I teach Tai Chi and Qigong, as you know, and one of the most important principles is pulling your spine up to the sky. I always tell people, you know, your spine becomes a fulcrum between heaven and earth, right. And you try to make it as long and as straight as you possibly can. And it really, I mean, and we do some Qigong exercises where we, you know, tuck our chin in to do exactly what you're talking about. So these, you know, it's perfect for posture. So important for the efficiency of our bodies. Right.
Yep.
But also for the long-term effects of our bodies, because you can see even people like middle age, like me, that you see some people, they're standing up straight, their body's seeming to work. And then you see other people.
Yep.
Slumped over, their tails are tucked, you know, that.
Well, structure precedes function. So if your structure is off, your function is going to be off. So think of it like a car. So if you had a car and the car's tires were out of alignment or the chassis was bent and not where it needed to be, that would lead to the function of the car not being correctly. So a practical example with our human frame is I have a lot of fun with my young athletes and my football players and stuff like that. And they're like, Doc, why are you so concerned about my head sticking forward, you know, my posture scans? And I have them actually, I have them sit up tall, like you're doing with your people, and have them raise their arms up over their head.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually have them stick their head forward, like they're on their phone or on their computer, and lift your arms up as high as you can.
Oh, you can't do it?
You can't do it. Your arms don't go up as high.
So wow.
Structure precedes function. So yeah. If I have a young athlete coming in that's on their phone all day long, if they've maybe had an old whiplash injury or something, and their structure's off in their neck, eventually that will lead to their arm motion not being able to function the way it needs to. And so that's an injury waiting to happen. And so I always tell them, we need to fix this even before it becomes painful, because your structure's off, therefore you can't function the way you were designed to.
That's vital. Injury waiting to happen. You know, because even when we're not talking about the physical structure of the body, I've had a lot of conversations with internalists that say that, you know, a lot of the diseases that we face, a lot of the issues we face in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s start in our 20s and 30s.
Exactly.
So it's functional as well. If we don't have that posture and if we don't take care of our flexibility with our spine, right, so that everything can move, then yes, you're going to have shoulder issues. You're going to have neck issues. You're going to have lower back issues. You're going to have a a mess.
It's now expressing all that stuff later on. Like, you can adapt so for so long when you're younger, and the older you get, the less you're able to adapt. And so, you know, when you get your structure assessed and you get pressure off those nerves, your body's better able to adapt to those different stresses, whether it be physical, chemical, emotional stresses. And so it's just your body expressing when things are dysfunctional. Check engine light. You know, it's important. Health is not how you look and how you feel. Health is how you function. How many people knew somebody that looked good and felt good, and then they went to the doctor and they got diagnosed with heart disease or diabetes or, you know, cancer, even though they looked good and they felt good, you know? So I think the community, like, we should have more of a healthcare system that takes care of problems before they have an issue versus a sick care system that just deals with symptoms all day long.
100%. I love the Chinese. I was told years ago in China, they only paid their doctors when they were well.
Yeah.
Because if you got sick, then they've missed the bucket. Because the whole point is to take care of this vessel, right? Not to let it keep falling. Because it seems like every time you get sick, then there's always that either chance of recurring. And you're saying that's the same thing with spinal injuries, right? That if you have an injury, then that's going to be a weak area for you potentially. And the area you just told us above and beyond and underneath that area is going to be a weak area for you to watch for the rest of your life.
Yep. It's everybody's got structurally, kind of based on their DNA and their genetics, areas of weak spots with your body, but you can also strengthen that through, you know, finding the different providers that do the things that, you know, can help your body function right. And I always go back to your health is your responsibility. You know, my health is my responsibility. You know, the best example I can give of that is my old office manager, Miss Kathy. She was diagnosed with cancer and told she was pregnant within a week of each other. They gave her 6 months to live, and she is still alive today, 31 years later.
That's awesome.
Not even in remission. She still has cancer, but she is meticulous. I'm telling you, like, meticulous about who she hires and fires for her medical team. Like, she has her oncologist, she has her physical therapist, she has her all the different providers, and she's fired more doctors than I've even known. Just because if they're not putting her health first and they're not talking to all the other providers, she's like, nope, I'm not dealing with this. Like, this is my responsibility. And she's amazing.
Well, you know, that's what it's going to, I think that's a big part of what it's going to take to revolutionize our healthcare system, is for people to quit being victims and just accepting whatever people want to give them and do exactly like what Miss Kathy's doing.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, put themselves first, continue to listen. That doesn't feel right. How many times have I heard been talking to somebody and they're like, I just didn't understand what the doctor said. It just didn't seem to make sense. It just didn't. But he gave me all these pills and I'm taking them. I'm like, well, if talking to him didn't make sense, then why do you think the pills make sense? What island is he going to travel to because you're taking those pills? That's just ridiculous. Come on.
I like to train my patients to be the annoying 5-year-old to ask why? So your thyroid isn't working. Why? Is it a deficiency? Is it a toxin that you're putting in your body repetitively? Is it the nerve supplies not getting to there? Why is it not functioning? Oh, I just have high blood pressure, doc, so I'm taking the medication. Well, why is your high blood pressure high? Like, why is your blood pressure high? Are you stressed at work? Is your neurology off? Are you, you know, why is that dysfunctional? You know, and so with anything health related, you always need to ask why your body's dysfunctioning, because we're not designed to be sick. Like, our bodies are not designed to have a bunch of pills to function and get to the door. We're designed to be healthy. And so when we're not healthy, the question is, why are you unhealthy? You know, is it an old injury that you had that didn't heal right? Is it, you know, chronic emotional stress because you have toxic relationships?
Or is it a food allergy? Like, my brother was able to reduce his blood pressure medicine when he figured out his food allergies, because it totally changed the system on the inside. So there's And I love what you said about continuing to ask why. Don't just ask the one why, because they'll give you the answer that they're used to giving you. Ask that net. Well, why is that? And why is that? And why is that? So you get to that root cause that you can't get anything else away from. And then you got to deal with it. And the problem with a lot of people, I think, well, I hate to say the problem with a lot of people, because it's us, it's me too. I'm a people. Right. But that they don't want to make the changes necessary.
Yeah. It may not be easy. And sometimes getting healthy isn't easy. I mean, sure, it would be very easy to take a bunch of pills to, you know, something in the morning to, you know, help all the symptoms. That would be very easy. But sometimes you have to put in the work, you know, whether it be going to a physical therapist that's going to get your, you know, your core strong, it gets your body stable, whether it be, you know, going to a chiropractor to help, you know, get your body moving correctly, get pressure off those nerves so that your body can heal. Whether it be even, you know, eating right. Like, how many people said, oh man, I want to lose 30 pounds and I ate one salad and it changed my life? No, like, it's consistency over time is how you make changes, because we live in a microwave world. Like, we live in, we want things instantly. We want this pill to fix us completely. We want, but the way physiology works, it doesn't work like that. Like, whenever I plant my grass and I plant my garden, sure, I would love for it to instantly, you know, instantly come in and be healthy. But if I've got to, you know, put the nutrients down so that it can be healthy, I got to give it water. I've got to give it time. You know,
and besides the fact, you got to make sure that the ground that you're putting it on is right.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to go to the foundation really before you go any further, but before you do anything else, or else you're just going to waste your time. So
good ecosystem.
Exactly. And people don't, and I think you're right that a lot of times people don't see that, and they don't. And, but at the same time, I think part of it is our training. You know, Mark, last week we talked a little bit about how our society, how we have social constructs and how we're used to kind of being fed things. And I definitely feel there's a benefit to the public education in our country, but I also think that our public education tells us to sit down and shut up and wait in line. Like, one of my favorite things for my son, that when he was in kindergarten, first day, honey, what'd you do today? Waited in line.
Well, that actually raises a question I was getting to ask Dr. Seth and everything, which is, I agree with what Tish was just saying. Do you think that we're learning enough about health in our educational system? Because I sometimes think that we're not learning enough about health in our educational system. I remember going to health class when I was a kid, and I'm in my late 50s now, but I don't even know if they offer health classes now. So if you could talk about the need for health even in our education system, because I'm actually one that believes that we should have more health in that system.
Right. Well, without knowledge, people perish. And so I think the more knowledgeable you are, you know, in every area, it's going to make you, you know, less ignorant to, you know, how things were. And it gives you power. I mean, how many people back in the day were scared to, they thought the earth was flat and they were like, oh, we can't do this. And then they got enough knowledge of going further out into the ocean to where they eventually said, oh, well, maybe we can go explore and see new things. So with knowledge relating to your health, I think it boils down to just not accepting status quo, not, you know, questioning, asking those why questions. And I definitely think in school, I mean, I haven't been to elementary school in a long time, and I've got a son on the way, so I'll probably learn those pretty soon about what it's like in the schools. But I definitely think, you know, where's the incentive and where's the money coming from? You know, if you've got a lot of money behind, you know, pharmaceuticals, then you're going to have a lot more weight to be able to educate. You know, there's a reason why they spend $25 billion a year marketing to doctors and $9 billion a year marketing to the American public, you know, because that, when you say that enough times, like, ask your doctor about this, ask your doctor about this, you're conditioned to think health comes from a pill. And I think when more people wake up and realize health doesn't come from a pill, it comes from, you know, your body working the way it's supposed to, whether that be getting proper exercise, whether that be you getting proper nutrition, whether that be you getting proper connection, you know, with that nervous system from your brain down to every organ, cell, and tissue. And I think, you know, the more people you connect with that are able to teach you what how the body functions, you know, that's where it comes from. And that's why I'm passionate about, I tell any of my patients, like, if something doesn't make sense, ask. Like, I'm not a mind reader. Like, I'm going to do my very best to educate you. If something doesn't make sense within my field, doctor in Latin means teacher. And that's actually where I'm most passionate. Like, I could train a drunk monkey to push on your back and make something pop. Not what I do. What I do is specifically assess where the stress is and work on those areas, but then educate you on why that's important. And so, yeah, you're right with the kids. I think, you know, they don't get enough education over that. And, you know, I don't know why, you know, I'm not in those fields, but I think you're right.
But I think, too, it comes from the home. You know, and if the parents lead, you know, we all know this, and Dr. Seth, you will learn this if you don't already know it, that kids follow your example. Have y'all seen, this is just an aside, and it's crazy because it makes me laugh every time I think about it, but there was a mom to a grown son saying, do this and put it on your chin. And they were like, right here together, put it on your chin. And he kept doing this. And she even laughed in his face, and she was dying laughing. He's like, what's funny? And she was like, your chin. My point is that kids follow your example. People, to a large extent, follow your example, not your words. So my point is, if the household needs to be healthy, and that brings it back to, you know, people have to be, have ownership and take responsibility for their health. When you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? You feel great? You want to get up, get that day going? Or you feel like you got to get coffee? I got to tell you, I'm so tired. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, obviously, with what I'm going to say next. But so many people, it's just common. This is what I have to go. You know, and some of them are funny, you know, grump, coffee. Now we're good. You know, all these other things. But to me, that's an issue if you have to have coffee to get yourself going in the morning.
Yeah, and it's showing your body's not expressing itself the way it needs to, whether that be low energy, whether that be, you know, headaches or migraines or whatever, like the symptoms are, it's telling you something's not right. And so my question is, why? You know,
right?
Why is that? Are you not getting proper nutrition? Are you deficient in certain supplements? Are you not investing in yourself and doing things like meditation, you know, things like that? Like, we're not designed to be sick. We're not designed to be dysfunctional like that. And if you are, why, you know, are you not expressing nervous system the way it's supposed to? Like,
you know, or is it a mental, I hate to say it, or is it a psychological issue that you're not, you know, taking care of what you need to take care of? And so it's coming out in your body, because I've always felt that things, you know, that manifest in your energy body, are they're in your energy body, and then they manifest in your physical body.
Yep.
So when I teach Tai Chi and Qigong or give Reiki treatments, it's all about the energy. It's all about moving the energy. It's all about keeping everything open and moving. And what that does for people then is the sensations that they feel and how they can get in tune with their body, which is vital, because what we're talking about, they don't realize until something's screaming at them in pain, they don't start to feel that little tingle. Or why do I feel kind of funny when I shift my weight to this side? Or why can't I do this on this side? They, you know, until they do something like Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga or Pilates or, you know, just basic meditation, they can't get in touch with those early signals that your body gives you.
Yep.
You know, if you can listen right then and there, like, finally, I'm going to bring my son up again. You know, he's finally getting to the point that he's had asthma in his life. So he's finally getting to the point that as soon as he feels a little bit of tight, you know, a little bit of something, we're starting to do some Qigong exercises and do some other things to get those lungs to open back up. You listen to the early.
Proactive versus reactive.
Totally. 100%.
I think, too, like, you know, going back to your energy relation, you know, I think of us as like rivers. You know, so if you have a good flow of energy and good vibration, your body's expressing itself at 100%, versus if you have some sort of interference, you know, in that nervous system that transmits those electrical impulses, then you're going to be like a tiny little stream that's not expressing it, right? So where's the block? You know,
is
the block
coming
from emotional stressors? Is it coming from a physical stressor, or even like a chemical stressor? Because if you have those three different stressors, you're going to be a tiny little river expressing yourself, like a big free flowing river.
And I'll tell you, when I do Reiki on folks, if they're on medication, I feel like there's a little bit of a blockage, you know, because it's not their true energy from their, you know, there's this medical, this drug is doing something to them. So it's a different kind of animal. And again, I just love talking with you about, you know, people listening to their bodies, owning their bodies, your body, you know, your check engine light, you have to listen to it. You have to honor it. You have to obey the foundational concepts that your body needs. And there's a certain extent that I think different people need different things at different times. Don't you think? Like the way we manage our bodies, it depends on what season we are of our life.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's certain things you need all the time, You know, there are certain things that you may need more at different times of stress. You know, obviously, you know, if you're, you know, under a lot of stress, whether it be the holidays, whether it be, you know, certain, then sometimes maybe you need a supplement more to, you know, make up for that. You know, I have patients, if they're really stressed out at work, and I say, if you're running in that red, you know, you're just always wound up. Maybe you need to meditate more. You know, maybe you need to learn to calm your breathing down. Like, and I think identifying whenever you're, you know, in a stressful situation, whether it be a chronic stress, because we're designed to handle stress, like short term.
Basic.
Physiological. Mm-hmm. We're designed to be under stress 3 days a week, or like about 15 minutes at a time, you know, 3 to 4 days a week. You know, like back in the day, the caveman would see the tiger jump out and then your eyes would get big, your heart rate would go up, and you'd run away from the tiger and then go back to, you know, hanging out with your friends. But how many people do you know nowadays that have chronic stress, whether it be, you know, always on phone calls?
That's the issue.
Like chronic stress. And of course we have high blood pressure and our body's trying to adapt to those stresses. But, you know, I think I told you this, but I always say your health is like you're wearing a backpack and treading water. And so for every stress that you have, it's like putting a rock in that backpack. So let's say, for example, you smoke. That's a chemical stress. That's like putting a rock in the backpack. Okay, let's say, you know, you've got a bad relationship. You know, that's an emotional stress. And then let's say you slip and fall down, you know, fall down the stairs. That's a pretty big physical stress.
Totally.
So that's putting all those rocks in the backpack, and eventually you're not going to be able to tread water, and you're going to go underwater, and that's going to express itself in symptoms, whether it be high blood pressure, whether it be migraines, whether it be, you know, neck pain, low back pain. I mean, your body can't adapt to stress. It's going to tell you, I'm not happy. You know,
because your energy, again, to me, it starts that your energy isn't balanced because you're not in balance. So things are going wonky. And like you said, there's times we can handle wonky, you know, we can agree with the wonky. But then it becomes, if we can't regain that balance, just like your wife is about to go through one of the wonkiest parts of her life, you know, and eventually, though, but I know you and I know you're going to help her balance that, you know, back out to where then she can be 100% for herself, for you, and for your child, you know, but you've got to find that balance. But there's so many people, it's just, there's even somebody, Mark, on this show, not on Plant a Good Seed, but that has been working, I don't know, 20 hours a week, and he keeps saying, I'm fine, it's good, well, guess who's sick now?
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, if you don't honor yourself, my son, knock on wood, said, Mom, I don't think you've been sick in like 3 years. I'm like, well, it's because I listen to my body. And as soon as my throat starts to hurt, or as soon as, you know, I get weak, or as soon as I start feeling cold, then I listen to it and I do something. And that's what I think everyone, you know, eventually needs to have that relationship with their body where they can hear what it's telling them.
For sure.
You
but
know,
Tish, and one of the things I was getting ready to ask Dr. Seth, because it's a concern of mine of a number of folks around the world and everything, is it's actually a two part question. Is one, I think that we're getting too many people that are too tied in because of the pandemic and everything. So they're tied into their computers and things of that nature. So because of that, they are adding stress to their life and things of that nature. And I don't know that they necessarily do a good job of addressing posture. Like, I'm not gonna even lie and say that I'm the best person with posture as well. So I was wondering if you could talk about the importance of having good posture and things of that nature, because I find that a number of folks don't have good posture and don't even think about good posture on a regular basis. So I do know that's part of the job of a chiropractor. So I would love to hear your thoughts on the need for good posture.
Well, that's where I go back to the structure precedes function. You know, if your structure's off, your function's going to be off. And back when I first started in 2009, I hardly ever saw teenagers with headaches, and, you know, and it was and now I see it all the time, because what do you see teenagers do? They're looking down at their iPhones, because iPhones really weren't a big thing back then. And now we have all the smartphones and kids are looking down constantly and their posture is terrible. So now I'll have moms bringing their teenagers in, you know, always getting headaches daily. And then we take a posture scan or x-rays and we see, sure enough, that curve in the neck is reversed and their posture is terrible. And it's, you know, some things you can address, like, for example, when my wife and I first met, she was starting to get headaches. She was working at a, you know, a high stress job, and her posture, I walked in one day to get lunch with her and she was working on her laptop, looking down completely. And she was doing that every day for 8 hours. And I was able to, you know, address her ergonomics and put some, you know, books and stuff underneath her computer to where she was looking straight ahead all day long. You know, so that actually helped, you know, instead of 8 hours looking down, she had better posture throughout the day, which helped her body function better and took stress off of those muscles and off of those nerves, you know, and so her headaches got a lot better. You know, so that's one of those things where we addressed the chronic stressor, which was the posture, and that helped her function better and work better. So with kids, you know, I always kind of like come up and get onto them. I'm like, get the phone up, you know, look at, like, get your phone up when you're texting, you know, instead of just looking down all day long. Or if it's a person at work, I, you know, tell them, you know, make sure you get that computer up to eye level to where you're not looking down all day long, putting stress on the function of the body. You know,
yeah.
Did that answer your question?
That did. That makes a lot of sense too. And I know a lot of folks are not usually thinking about posture in that sense. So I'm glad that you were able to talk about that and things, because I know a lot of times folks don't think about posture. But then I do see a number of times folks, when they go into the office settings, they will try to have like their ergonomic chairs and the other things. So they try to get engaged in that. The other thing I was curious about, Dr. Seth, is do you think that there is an age range where you should not be thinking about like chiropractor or physical therapy care? I know I've got a mom who's in her late 70s, and my dad is 80. So is there like an age that you don't need to be as concerned about posture, or is it something you should be concerned about all life long?
I would say not, because I've had patients from 2 days old to 99 years old. Everybody's got a spine. Everybody needs proper nerve function, and they need those signals to be communicating clearly, no matter your age. And people will say, Doc, why a two-day-old? Well, I mean, if you have, you know, a stress on the body, whether it be yanking a head out of
birth canal,
it's going to be a stress on the cervical spine. And babies can't say, oh, hey, doc, my neck hurts. They're just going to cry and be fussy. And once you check and see, you know, where the stress is on the spine, you don't work on kids the same way you work on adults. It's very light pinky pressure, almost like you're pushing into a ripe tomato. And they heal so much faster just because they don't have 20, 30, 40 years of wear and tear on their body. But the techniques that you go about it, at least for me, because I learned 9 different techniques in school, I don't treat everybody the same, you know. So I, you know, if I have a young kid, I'm going to work on them completely different than I am, you know, a 25-year-old athlete, you know, versus, you know, a 90. And here's a good example. One of the doctors I worked for when I first got into practice, he made it a point to bring over one of his favorite patients. And he was 90 years old at the time. He was on the USS Arizona whenever the Japanese bombed it during World War II. And he had been doing yoga for 40 years, chiropractic for 40 years, and he walked 3 miles a day. And he had just taken an x-ray on this patient, and he showed me it. And the guy's spine looked like somebody that was 50, 40, somebody way younger. And the doc I was working with told me, if you take care of your body and you do the right things, this is what it looks like. And this guy's spine looked amazing for 90 years old. And so it was one of those things. He had done the work. He'd put in the work to maintain his body, and his body functioned better because of it, you know? And so that goes back to your health is your responsibility. But there are certain cases that, you know, when I do my exam, I'm not comfortable working with them because there's other conditions going on that aren't chiropractic related. And so, you know, in that case, I would refer them to, you know, their primary care doctor or a different doctor that would fix those kind of conditions. But if
like, do you want to tell us about the guy with the high blood pressure? Because that was a really interesting one that just shows that people aren't listening to their body. Right.
Sure. I had a patient one time that came in, and he'd been under chiropractic care before. And he knew kind of how when you have, you know, pressure on the nerves in the upper neck, it leads to, you know, headaches and stuff like that. Well, he comes into my office and he was, hey, doc, just crack me. You know, I need a good crack. And I was like, no, I'm going to do my exam. I'm going to figure out, you know, where your stress is, what's going on with you. And I did my consultation. Everything seemed normal. And then I took his blood pressure, and normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. His was 220 over 180. Wow. So he was literally about to stroke out. And I told him, sir, go immediately to the ER. You're not having a headache because you have a kink in your neck and your spine's not moving right. You're having a headache because you're about to stroke out. Go to the emergency room, get this addressed, and then, you know, maybe come back. But
yeah, if you need it. Sense,
the cause of his headaches was not a misalignment in his neck. It was because of his blood pressure. And that was where if I were to work on him and adjust him and something were to happen, oh, chiropractor causes the, and it's like, no, he walked in with that. And I did my job as a medical provider, assessing him and doing my exam. And in that case, I couldn't help him, you know?
And you had a great deal of integrity, you know, yeah. Like you said, because you still could have worked on him. But in addition for you to take the time to do the exams, because I know I've been to chiropractors and they're just ready to rack and crack and get you out of there 10 minutes, you know, and how many patients can they get in? But for you to actually take the time and go through, take blood pressure and all of that, some people may not understand why it's important, but it's important for you to get to what the true root issue is.
Right.
To know what you can do.
Somebody's safe and you are the right fit for them.
Right.
So that's why you do your exam. And if you go to any medical provider and they don't do an exam, then, you know, they might not find the cause. They might not actually address the thing. I learned this lesson pretty valuably myself whenever I was in chiropractic school. So I got, I started getting red rashes all over my arm whenever I was in chiropractic school. And I went to the medical doctor just to, you know, kind of see what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he spent maybe 45 seconds in the room with me, maybe. And he just said, oh, I'll take this pill and like just walked out of the room. And I literally remember leaving going, why'd I pay $50 like copay to come and do that? And it didn't touch it. Like it kept getting worse. I was in chiropractic school and I was very embarrassed. I literally sit with my arms crossed so nobody would see my arms, and it got worse and spread to my chest. Well, I went to a physician's assistant, which technically had less education than the medical doctor. And she spent 10 minutes with me. She swabbed it. She got my history and she realized, oh, you're in medical school right now. So how much are you sleeping? And I was, you know, 4 or 5 hours a night. And, you know, how much stress are you under? Well, it's finals. So I'm, you know, I've got 12 this week. I'm under a lot of stress. And she basically said that this is a thing called tinea versicolor. Everybody's got fungus and bacteria that lives on their skin.
Microbiome.
You're through a lot of stress right now because you're medical schooling. Your immune system is dropped. And your body's not able to handle that. And so she gave me an antifungal cream. She gave me, told me to use Celsin Blue with selenium to rub it on my skin. And then she actually gave me, you know, different medication to help that. And she was like, make sure you get plenty of sleep and you're doing things to help, you know, build that immune system. And sure enough, it knocked it out in a week and a half. So in that case, she found the cause and got me right versus the other guy just spent no time whatsoever, gave me a pill and ran out the door within a minute. You know, so it was.
And potentially, I mean, I hate to say it, but the for-profit medical system, and potentially you'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe get another pill, pay him another $50.
Right.
But
and how many times are we going to do that?
Right. And so in that case, even at a young age in chiropractic school, when I was just starting, I knew my health's my responsibility. So I got a second opinion. And sure enough, the person technically with less education took the time to properly evaluate me, and she nailed it. And so that kind of framed my mindset with, you know, I never wanted to be one of those rack 'em and crack 'em, just, you know, lay them down. You can do a good job quickly and efficiently and answer any questions. You don't have to sit there and talk college basketball with somebody and waste their time.
Right.
But you can also be, you know, educating somebody and getting to know their stressors and their what they have going on and do it efficiently, you know. But if you go to somebody and they don't do all that, then you know, maybe it's time for a second opinion.
Yeah, Dr. Seth, speaking of that, I was just wondering if you could talk to folks, because like I said, I had the pleasure of going and actually know this gentleman because he's one of my derm chiropractors. But if you could talk to folks about when you think somebody should go see a chiropractor, because I think that too often folks wait till the accident happens, the fender bender or whatever, and that's when they go to a chiropractor. But I'm thinking that you probably need to see chiropractors more often than that, or and there might be times in your life that you need to see them. So when do you think is a good time to see a chiropractor, and what kind of recommendations would you give to folks in order to come to a chiropractic practice?
I would say, I mean, if you want to function at your highest level and you want your body to work right, it's important to get in even before you have pain and get evaluated, because like I said, there a prevention, like if you're preventative and you're preventing something from becoming an issue, it's a lot easier to treat than if you've had something for 40 years.
Yep.
And I even address that with when I'm designing my treatment plans. If I've got to retrain your body over 40 years of, you know, an old injury, that's going to take longer to fix than somebody that, you know, has doing pretty well and they just had a quick injury, you know, and then everything's still structurally pretty much where it needs to be. So, I mean, I would say if you're wanting to function at your highest level, I mean, whenever I worked with Olympic athletes, we weren't there for pain. We weren't there to treat pain and symptoms and all that. We were there for better function. Nice. And the better your body moves, the better your alignment, the better that nervous system works, the less likely you are to be injured. And so I would always just say, you know, some things are pretty obvious. You know, if you look in the mirror and your head's all sticking forward and one shoulder's higher than the other, you may not have pain, but your function, your structure's off already, you know? So it's always important to get evaluated, you know? So I would say anybody that wants to function at their highest level, you know, go get checked out, even if you have pain or not. I mean, obviously the public knows, okay, if I had fell down the stairs or, you know, if I got in a car accident, they kind of know those cases, you know, and those are, you know, pretty traumatic events that you definitely need to heal right after. But it's important to, you know, get ahead of that curve, you know.
Let me ask a totally different question and one we haven't talked about yet, Dr. Seth, but it's something that I'm curious about. Now, let's talk about chiropractic care in the United States versus chiropractic care in other countries.
Okay.
Are you aware, is there the same, like, I remember years ago, there weren't a whole lot of chiropractors, and then now there seems to be quite a few, honestly. Right. And so I'm wondering, in other countries, is chiropractic care part of their overall health program, or is it more of an American? Where are we at with chiropractic care across the board?
Other than Colombia, having never practiced, you know, in other countries, I don't know some of the legalities and all the stuff, but I do know there are chiropractors all over the world, Australia, England. I mean, obviously I practiced in Colombia for a while, South America. I don't know, you know, how much, like, you know, schooling you have to get into those different areas. And if it's true chiropractic, but I know in certain countries like England and Australia and, you know, Colombia, it is, you know, chiropractic, but I mean, I can't really speak to that very well having only practiced in America, but I've got friends that have practiced in different areas and I don't know to what extent they had to go past certain, you know, boards and that kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, what that entails just because I've never
gotcha. Done. Or if it's real similar to the things you do, I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because the spine is the spine.
Different areas, you have different things that you can do under your license, you know. So when I practiced in Texas, there were certain things that I can do legally because the chiropractic board in that state, they had, you know, put it in their statutes and you were legally able to do those things. And then like in North Carolina, there's different statutes that you can and can't do depending on the legality aspect of it. So I'm not sure, you know, I think in England, you can't take x-rays, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
In the U.S., you can. So there are certain guidelines that you have to work within based on where you're practicing. But to what extent, I don't know, because I've only practiced in, you know, Texas, North Carolina, and Columbia.
Cool. And one other thing that we talked about earlier that I don't know what it is. Let's talk about the Y strap. What is that Y strap that you and Wynn were talking about before, Dr. Seth?
That is a very specific way of decompressing the spine.
Okay.
So compression is the worst force on your spine. And the way I make that analogy is, I mean, you've known people that get in a car accident and they're going 50, 60 miles an hour and, you know, they strain the muscles and stuff like that, but they don't break their spine. But then you see somebody that gets in a, you know, they jump in a 3-foot pool and compress their spine and they break something. Well, compression is the worst force on your spine. Well, the Y strap, and let me just grab it. I'll show you.
Okay, cool. We're going to get a display of a
medical equipment.
I like this. That'll be a great thing.
Mark, we should have been there could be the guinea pigs.
Yeah, the Y strap is a technique that I use after I've identified like specific stresses. I'll, you know, get certain areas moving. It's the way I usually finish my adjustments is I like put this around somebody's neck and then just decompress. And it helps uncompress your spine. It helps relieve tension and just get pressure off those nerves and just open things up to give your body space, to give those nerves space. So it's just another specific way of you know, taking tension and stress out of the spine and the nervous system.
Because the head's heavy, right? I mean, besides the things that happen.
Yeah, the head usually weighs, with most people, you know, between 12 and 15 pounds.
Right.
And you get really compressed. And so it's just a good way of opening things up.
Right.
So what's the most stressful athletic job that you've had to deal with? I'm imagining it would be football, but then I've also had a friend that was a diver and they had to deal with a lot of chiropractic injuries as well. So since you've dealt with athletes, what's the most stressful athletic job that you've had to deal with?
You mean like an athlete coming in that was repetitively right. injuring themselves?
Yeah.
We worked with a lot of soccer players in Colombia. I've had NBA players. I've had NFL players. I mean, everybody's got their specific types of stresses they put their body under. One of the ones that was memorable to me when I was in Colombia was power lifters. There was one that we would set up in the gym and we would treat him, and he would literally go over and be deadlifting, you know, 600 pounds and come lay on our table and then, you know, go back to lifting. So it was like a repetitive stress on the body. But yeah, it just depends on the sport. Obviously football's pretty stressful with just the head trauma, you know, don't lead with your head.
Yes.
Dancers, actually, when I worked with a lot of dancers when I was in
a retreat, and he would literally go over
side with like some of the college athletes that were near where our clinic was. Mm-hmm. Dancers, especially ballerina dancers, they would mess their ankles and toes up really bad. But every sport has its specific types of stress, you know, on the body. And so that's why when I do my consultation and my evaluation, I'm trying to assess where, you know, what kind of stresses that person specifically is having to adapt to, whether it be, you know, collisions on the football field, whether it be falls on the basketball court, whether it be, you know, standing on your toes, ballet dancing, you know, it's, you kind of learn what somebody's having to adapt to and then where they may be carrying different stresses on their body based on what they're doing.
Yeah, because one of the things you said earlier that I really resonated with me and everything was talking about how we need to talk to our doctors and our providers, be that the chiropractors, be that the physical therapists, be that the regular doctors. Because I know that one of the shows on TV that I used to enjoy watching was Dr. Quinn. And I also used to watch like watching the doctor in Bonanza, because it seemed like those, I mean, I know they were characters, but it seemed like they were actually involved and actually having conversations with their doctors on a regular basis. And I do think we've gotten away from that. I think we've gotten away from that ability to actually talk to our doctors and have these conversations. Because I think that that's something that we all need to do on a regular basis, is talk to our doctors and have these conversations with them. Because I think too often we are too quick to get the pill and be happy with it and not ask why. And
or,
I like your, the why.
There's different, different providers too. Because not ever, I mean, chiropractors and medical doctors and dentists are all like mechanics. You got your good ones and your bad ones. You got the few that will take the time to educate. And then you got the other few that, you know, what's the symptom? Okay, here's this pill. What's the symptom? They're like, they're throwing the pills at you before they even know what's going on, you know? But I think you can't make a broad brush with that. Like it's, everybody's unique with how they operate. But I think overall, because there's so much money in, you know, the pharmaceuticals, that now it's just, this is the symptom, you know, let's take this pill for that. And my question is, why is the symptom there?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's not because of the lack of a pill. There's a reason why that symptom's there. And sometimes it's something I can fix. Sometimes it's something a different other provider can fix. But the question is why?
Right. Right. Or the change that the patient needs to make, period. Right. Doesn't want to make. Like a change in diet.
80% of disease in America right now is chronic disease caused by lifestyle choices. So is it easier to take a pill for your high blood pressure and certain things, or is it easier to stop eating the 5 Big Macs a week and drinking the, you know, 20 diet sodas? Like what's easier? And so, you know, sometimes it does boil down to that personal responsibility and, you know, making some changes with your lifestyle. Cause I always joke, like I can adjust you and get stress off your nervous system, but if you're, you know, smoking 3 packs a day and you're eating, you know, McDonald's every day, are you really still going to be healthy? Probably not.
Yeah. So I guess we're coming down now that we're past 2 o'clock. Let's just bring it on down home here and wrap it up. When we talk about what is health, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to answer the question for us? It's a huge question, but.
So what is health? I mean, is health how you look and how you feel? I mean, because some people look good and felt good, and then they went to their doctor and they got diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
You know, I had a buddy of mine that had lung cancer, and he looked good and he felt healthy, but he went to the doctor and it was the most surprising diagnosis he'd ever had. So health is not how you look and how you feel. It's, you know, it's how you function. If your body's functioning at 100%, then your body's healthy. And so in my paradigm, the way I look at health is what controls function of your body. It's the nervous system. If that nervous system shot due to, you know, physical, chemical, and emotional stresses, then you're not going to function at the highest level, you know. And if it deals with, you know, for me, like if I assess somebody's spine and they have misalignments or they have, you know, a lack of range of motion on those individual joints, it's going to affect that nervous system, and that nervous system's not going to work the way it needs to. I mean, how long can you go without, you know, eating or drinking water or breathing? A few minutes. How long can you go without a nervous system? Not 1 second.
So right.
You know, what are you doing to invest in, you know, helping your body function right? What are you doing to, you know, ask the right questions as to why you're experiencing certain symptoms? And so if you're not functioning right, you're not going to express life at that maximum level.
Well, to me, it's, you know, I love your definition. It's how you function. Health is how you function optimally. But I also, you know, there's a lot of other components. I think, too, when we talk about a broad range of health, such as your spiritual health and your mental health, you know, which can feed into your physical health eventually, and become one of those stressors like you talk about. So I think that true balance is what's necessary for folks. Once again, I always come back to the balance. And I know you believe in balance, too. That was, I think, the first, you know, one of the first things we talked about.
Right. The it's funny you mentioned that, because I think I found there was the World Health Organization's definition of health was basically like the optimal spiritual, emotional, physical well-being. Like it was, if you look up their definition of health, it was, you know, that it wasn't how you look and how you feel. It was, you know, your body being balanced in all those different areas.
But it's so much easier, honestly, to look good than it is to be healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you put paint on, you can put stuff in your hair, fancy clothes, you're good.
One of my mentors, his name's Dr. Chris Zeno. He was Mr. Universe, like big bodybuilder.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then he actually ended up getting ulcerative colitis where his bowels didn't work right. And they were going to have to take out his intestines, and he looked like Mr.
Universe.
Mr. Like he was just, he was selling supplements. He was doing all those things, and he wasn't healthy because his body wasn't functioning right. You know,
it's amazing. And if you don't listen to those signs early enough and make the modifications necessary, because again, things are always going to change. Don't you agree? It's the only constant. Things are going to change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. The stresses that the humans had to deal with 200 years ago are vastly different than the stresses that we have nowadays. I mean, nowadays it's more posture related to all the computers and technology versus 200, 300 years ago. It was, you were lifting heavy objects because you didn't have anything to help you.
It is, but it surprises me how slowly our bodies evolve. So it's like, it seems like our society evolves a little bit faster than our bodies evolve. Because our body still, and I'm talking about our nervous system now, because, you know, when that sympathetic nervous system comes on, that's really supposed to keep us safe, right? It's when that saber-toothed tiger that you were talking about, it's when that jumps out of the woods. It's when we're about to fall off the mountain. It's when that clan, the other clan shoot me with an arrow. That's what it's for. But instead, we, because of what we watch, the way we walk, everything, that we have constant stress in our life, and we're the ones creating it.
For sure.
It looks like the doctor's got a good idea, because he's showing us balance, and I'm seeing the balance thing behind us. And it seems
he's
like
got
that's
it.
What we need is the balance, because that's one of the questions I was going to ask is, I think that too often, too many folks are thinking that we can't be balanced in this crazy age that we're living in with the pandemic and everything else going on. But it seems to me that both Tish and Dr. Seth would argue that, yes, we are facing a crisis in the world, but we can, as individuals, work on being balanced. And definitely that's something that we should work on, is being balanced even in the midst of this craziness that we're in the middle of with the pandemic. Is that a correct assessment, Dr. Seth?
Well, the more balanced you are and the better your body's functioning, the better you're going to adapt to those different stressors.
That's it.
You know, so whether it be, you know, your immune system, like I was, like I was stressed out at school because I was not sleeping good. I was, you know, chronically stressed with the emotional stress of tests and stuff like that. And so there's certain things you can do, whether it be meditation, whether it be chiropractic, whether it be supplementation, whether it be like CBD oils, like whether it be all these different things that allow your body to, you know, heal and function better and, you know, de-stress, that's going to allow you to adapt to those stresses better. And what I was showing you was, you know, in your nervous system, like it's, you have your gas pedal, which is your sympathetic nervous system. Yep. And then you have your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest. Well, you can't be in both at the same time. Whenever you're high, running from that tiger, whenever you're chronically stressed, you're not going to be able to rest and relax like you were designed to, which can lead to, you know, different symptoms where you have a balanced nervous system, you have good energy, you're resistant to infections, you're mentally alert, versus if you're, you know, unstable nervous system, that can lead to headaches and seizures and stuff like that. And, you know, so it all boils down to that nervous system and your ability to adapt to those stresses. And obviously some stresses are bigger than others. You know, if you jump out of a plane and your parachute doesn't open, that's a pretty big physical stress. Versus if you have, you know, repetitive, you know, bad posture, that's a stress, but it's not as intense as, you know, that other stress.
100%. But it can feel after 20 years of it though, man. Yep. Like, give me that 5 seconds of jumping out of the airplane.
Well, Dr. Seth and Tish, y'all can have jumping out of the airplane. I'm not trying to get out of anybody's airplane, jumping out of it. I'll stick it here on the earth, so I won't go for the jumping out of the airplane. I'll leave that to you two if y'all want to do that.
Very, very extreme example.
For real. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Seth, for being part of our show today. Let's tell people how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to. So you have a website, right?
So the best way to get in contact with me is just go into my website, foundationschiro.com. I've got some educational videos on there. My goal is to actually have that be kind of the hub to where, you know, if you wanted to schedule an appointment, you could schedule it through there. And then I'm actually starting up a YouTube channel to where I'm going to become, like, my job is to teach, reach, and inspire people. And so education is huge. And so I've actually invested in some video equipment. I'm going to be, you know, pumping out videos. You can also connect with me on our Foundations Chiropractic Facebook page. I, you know, post stuff all the time there as far as education.
You sure do. And it's wonderful. Yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm empowering people with their health, yes, whether it be a positive quote or whether it be, you know, teaching you how a certain part of the body works. So I would say Facebook, the website, you know, those are the best two.
And along those same lines, and then I'm going to ask Tish who we've got on next week, but along those same lines, we are a global network here on IBM.TV. So I'm assuming that folks from around the world can reach out to you, even though you're based here in the Triangle area, but definitely you are open to having conversations with people from England, Australia, and wherever else folks might be watching from.
Yeah, it's always worth a conversation. And I love, you know, answering questions and teaching people what it means to be healthy. And, you know, and if I don't, I mean, physically, I can't be in England or I can't be in different areas, but I've, you know, got friends in those areas and people that I trust. And I've had patients that move, you know, different areas. And I'm like, let me find somebody in your area for you. Let me find somebody I trust that's going to do things the right way. You know, and if you want to check out, if it's not me, then I'll find somebody for you. You know, so that's definitely important.
Sounds yeah, you great. Know, you know what questions to ask other doctors.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know when they're scamming you and when they're not doing the right things, and you know.
Exactly.
And that's always an important thing to have is somebody that can have be on your side, even in the medical profession. And it definitely sounds like that's what Tish has found in you and in a couple of our other folks as well that have come on this show on a regular basis. So Tish brings up the next question. So who do we have on next week and what will they be discussing?
We have your friend, our friend, Junghwa, J.H., and we probably have about 20 different things that we want to talk about. I'm trying to find the exact where we're going with this. We are talking about authentic human connection in the land of the free.
Wow. definitely sounds like that should be a great conversation. I know a number of folks will be interested in that and learning more about what JH has got to say, as well as what Tish will be involved in that conversation. And definitely, it was great meeting you, Dr. Seth, and look forward to hopefully having you back on again. I can tell you one thing just real quickly and everything, which is that we are always looking for good folks to be involved in the network as well. So don't be surprised if you don't get a call from Tish or others about doing a medical show, since you're already going to have the YouTube site up and things of that nature. And of course, we also have some medical events that go on Fridays, because I know we have medical doctors from around the world that speak on Fridays on a regular basis. So I might be telling them about you and they might be reaching out to you, because we've got doctors from all over the world, including India, Australia, and other places, but we're also always looking at new shows. So there are a couple of possibilities that might exist in that realm for you, Dr. Seth. So just keep that in mind, that you might be hearing from us once again in the very near future. And then I'm going to bring up one of our favorite ads and everything. We do know that Tish mentioned earlier that one of our people has been not feeling all of that well, but his daughter did this great video about what we should be doing in this age and time, in the area of like washing your hands and things of that nature. So I'm going to bring up the ambassador right now, and you can see her message about what we should be doing during this age of COVID.
Coronavirus se kaise bachenge? Okay. Hand dhokar. और ऐसे अपने खांसी जब आएगी तो ऐसे करेंगे अच्छू अच्छू और कोरोना वायरस को धन्यवाद हमारा म्यूजिक सुनने का.
Yes, that was a great thing that she does on a regular basis, and we love having that message from her on a regular basis. And I know most folks that watch that, including probably Dr. Seth, I saw Dr. Seth had a smile on his face, enjoy seeing what she's doing in terms of spreading that message. And who knows, maybe we'll see his child on a video after a while as well. So maybe that'll be what'll happen later on in the course of time. Of course, they've got to get past their usual child's shyness and all of that, and of course also grow up a little bit, but who knows what'll happen in the near future with their child. We might see them on TV or on radio or on a number of other venues. Who knows, we might even see them in the movie field. But right now I'm going to put on the video that was the Plant a Seed video that brings on the show, but also closes the show, so that folks can know where they can find this show on a regular basis, and they will have the airplane that gets us on out of here.
Are we still live?